In preparation for DPLA West, the DPLA awarded 7 travel scholarships to promising applicants in the library field. The DPLA research assistants caught up with Audrey Evans, Irina Zelikovich, Nicole Topich, and Todd Robbins to hear their thoughts on the DPLA and digital libraries in general. First, we talked with University of Michigan library student Irina Zelikovich about how she heard about the DPLA and the plenary session.
We have a couple of listservs. You know, there's like the official one that all of the school announcements go to, but there's also an open one that has thousands of people on it, whether it's alumni, prominent people in the field. You can request to be added to it. And so some of the stuff that you'll get going through there is completely random articles, unrelated things about campus activities, but more often than not, there's really fascinating discussions and notifications of, hey, this came through my inbox. I think this community would be interested in it. And the DPLA, as well as the plenary session, was one of the things that came across.
Audrey Evans, a New York librarian, first heard about the DPLA as an alternative to Google Books.
I just finished library school, but when I was starting library school a couple of years ago, I was reading and thinking about the Google Books project, and I was completely taken and fascinated with the project, that there would be something of that size and scope. And I think being part of my generation, I was kind of predisposed to Google, since they've revolutionized so much of our the way we live and communicate and find knowledge, that I was predisposed to get behind it, and it seemed like a really natural extension of their mission. But the more that I started reading about it and thinking about it, I realized that I'm becoming a librarian here, and why are these traditional institutions that have existed all of this time with their only mission and goal in their existence is to, you know, provide access and preservation of information. And I was wondering, why are institutions ceding this mission over to a private corporation that has, you know, other priorities that it has to honor that don't have anything to do with the missions and the values and the ideals of libraries, archives, and museums. So I guess I started really thinking, this is something that maybe libraries should be thinking about and saying, wait a minute, why don't we do this ourselves? And then I was reading Robert Darnton's book on The Case for Books, and he was talking about the DPLA, and I started reading his essays, and I just noticed that every conversation that I was having with myself about why aren't libraries taking this challenge up, it was already happening, and I became completely obsessed with the DPLA, and that's pretty much how it happened, and I've been following it really closely since then.
Nicole Topich, a library clerk at the University of Pennsylvania and part-time student at the University of Pittsburgh's Fast Track program, shared her excitement about the DPLA.
It's the cultural heritage aspect, and it's also because it's just going to be so integrated and accessible. I think it's amazing how the institutions are going to be cooperating rather than like there's been like several small projects of like especially like archival collections that I've seen that I think that have been preserved online. I think it's going to be such a huge project because of its scope and like potential impact on the public.
Todd Robbins, a graduate student at the University of Washington's Information School, discussed where he feels the DPLA could fit into the existing library world.
There's all this stuff out there, like the internet's allowed everyone to put everything online, and there's more and more coming on every day, but there needs to be a hub where people could come on and say, all right, well, I know these things exist, and I want to find things that are related to this topic, or I want to find everything that this person has ever written, you know, as a particular academic, or, I mean, there's just not a place to really hone in or, you know, to really get at all of those aspects. It's just there isn't a portal to be able to find those things. I mean, Google has done a good job, but I think that there's a lot more work that could be done. And I think in an academic library that would, in, you know, the setting that I work in, would be really great. One other thing I think would be cool to see the DPLA support something like a works progress for like digitization, you know, kind of like in the 30s or the 20s, you know, they had these big kind of national efforts to, you know, preserve local heritage or whatever. Because the president recently had that letter where he asked, big sweeping thing, asked the, all government institutions to put digitize their records and put them online by some date. And I think that it would be really cool if there was some sort of, program that DPLA supported to try and get important collections online, and that it was, you know, sent out people, you know, kind of like the Scanabago thing, like, but in an organized fashion, like, would be really cool. And I think it's something that could be done if it was organized well enough.
To wrap up our interviews, we had each of the scholarship recipients share their vision for the DPLA.
I would most like to see an ease of access. So I came from a history background at UC Berkeley, and I wrote my undergraduate thesis, and finding some of the resources was just such a hassle. And if it wasn't for the Slavic librarian at UC Berkeley, I probably wouldn't have found the guidebook from a 1947 museum that ended up being one of my central sources. I wouldn't have been able to find that as a student on my own. I would like to think that with something like the DPLA, it would empower individual researchers, and not just researchers, just the general public, to kind of cut through the levels of difficulties that we have now, looking from one library to another, to a different archive, and just do federated searching.
Finding a balance between, is the DPLA a repository, or is it, you know, a hub to send you out elsewhere? I think that there's a lot of different scenarios, and people presented some really fascinating options in that area. I really like kind of just talking about how it's just this idea of it being distributed like the internet is in its architecture, but at the same time working towards a common kind of end user experience that people can gain access to the things that are especially in the public domain.
Well, I'm trying to be an archivist, so I've mostly focused on the collection aspect. I think that the institution in general can be a great complement to like all the other resources that libraries provide. I don't think it's going to replace books necessarily, but I think it's going to be like its own new format and its own new collection. It's just going to enhance all the other resources that libraries and other cultural institutions have already.
I think if you have this big national repository that can kind of cover the bases of most of a really broad collection, I think local libraries can be focusing on, they can, you know, hone their collections more towards collecting things that are specific to their area, so you'll have more of a localized collections policy that it will free them up to, you know, provide more resources that way. But it will also, I feel like, give libraries and museums and archives just a wonderful platform to display all of their treasures and give them a much broader and wider audience than they would have ever had before. And it will really enhance the value of and demonstrate the value of these collections to people who have no idea right now that they exist.
This is Ben from The Diplomats signing off. We would like to say thank you and congratulations to all our scholarship recipients.